Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash,
a roundtable of Cowboys insiders
dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys.
Now, your host,
Newey Scruggs.
That's right. Media Mash, riding into the final game of the season, regular season game. We're here with social media star Jane Slater of NFL Media, John Machota, The Athletic, and dog team Clarence Hill.
What's up, brother? You had your energy drinks? Boy, you look like you're hyped, ready to go today. You're not going to be sleeping on us today, are you?
You got a big TCU win.
Says the guy who's constantly falling asleep when you're doing interviews with your phone like this.
Someone's
and you're
called
looking
out.
Around everywhere. I've seen you fall asleep against the wall. Was it Rod Marinelli or was it Scott Linehan?
That was so
who
many
was
years
that
ago.
One? It was like four.
Listen. Hey. Life is hard.
Okay. Nui.
Sometimes you know, you
I get it.
Going.
Look, you're a good dad. Look at all those kids you're getting in the car.
We just got the injury report.
Got the injury report.
Kelvin Joseph didn't practice today.
Lied. He lied to us again.
Truth.
Okay. Boss man fat.
Well, he saw Nashawn Wright and De'Ron Bland have been stepping up. And
he's not biting no kneecaps.
So I've had my wisdom teeth pulled out, and I definitely don't think I could have practiced the next day. Maybe that's one thing.
Why are you doing it now?
Yeah, fight. Somebody knock his tooth out.
That's a good point.
Somebody knock his tooth out.
I know I questioned his sickness a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm questioning the wisdom teeth thing. But
who said it was wisdom? He brought up wisdom. He didn't say wisdom.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something that would knock you up. I don't know. I guess if you had to, like an infection or something like that. Your face
we
could swell
up. We
know
it's a wisdom tooth, though?
No, it just says tooth. But I'm trying to think. It's not the first time. There's been other players that this has happened to. This isn't the first time. I'm just trying to think of a tooth situation where you guys wouldn't practice that day.
Micah Parsons
think of it?
Would.
I want to say, who? It wasn't Micah. Somebody else this season had a tooth and they didn't practice.
Sounds
it
like
Fowler?
People, it sounds like Jane does not believe it's a tooth.
Sounds
she
like
doesn't trust.
Sounds like that side of the table skeptical.
Sounds like she doesn't trust. Boss man fat.
If my boss at NFL Network goes and says Jane Slater needs to accept more responsibility and some of this stuff off to the side needs to go away, it's like it still feels like there's stuff still here.
Wait, well, first of all, the sickness, if he's really sick, you know, it was ravaging through the locker room. Mm-hmm. You don't want him here.
Yeah.
Because you don't want Micah to get it or someone else. So if you say you're sick, stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's best for the team. Speaking of Micah.
It doesn't say sick, it says tooth.
I know, but she was questioning the sickness. She said she questioned the sickness a couple of weeks ago.
And Jane, if you had a tooth issue, let's say a chipped front tooth or something, would you still go on the air? Would you play like a champion despite maybe not being happy with the way your teeth look for that show?
No, she would
now,
not.
Now, that's hitting me where it's true. I'm very vain, and I 100%. But I'd be...
Well, okay, so I don't want to make it sound like it's that.
You don't think the Dallas Cowboys can't do some cosmetic work for you? Outside of office hours? Now, if NFL Network is like, Jane, we can get you into a doctor and fix that tooth for you to go tomorrow, I'll be like, let's go.
And your mouth
what about you, Nui?
But yes, you are hitting the vanity thing. That is
okay.
Cool.
So I'll go to you, Nui.
Hey, look,
TV?
I feel like in 2023, we're starting the media at MASH off a lot of negativity here.
Yes, you know,
you fire shots.
I did not fire shots. I didn't ask you were hype today.
Wow.
But you know what?
It's critical thinking.
I guess, and it's funny because we brought up Micah to a certain extent. So let's talk about Micah.
Okay.
The hand is fine.
Oh, now you're going
to
get shady.
Oh, did you get to see it?
Here you go.
There you go.
I know where you're
there
going.
There you go.
With
there you going.
I know
so
where you're going with this.
It's officially confirmed, I think, it's a laceration on his hand. That's why I had to close.
It's not confirmed. I was told he's got a cut. Yeah.
Okay.
He cut his hand, but no one wants to tell us how it happened.
Right.
Yeah, because so that clearly means it wasn't in football.
So he cut his hand. And so that brings us back to a formerly famous cut hand around here before. Somebody cut their hand on soup.
Des Bryant.
Well, that's what he said. He was cutting up carrots to make soup. You know it's always good when Jane gives you a snort laugh. No,
well,
but
we know Dez Bryant did not cut his hand on and couldn't make a soup.
Yeah, you're his PR guy. So
yeah,
oh, God.
Yes,
that's your guy.
I don't think
that's
I ever asked Dez exactly
you,
what happened.
Your client.
We know what happened.
What happened to your client?
We
know what happened.
But
we're
gonna
we
keep
do?
It up. Yeah, we know what happened. We
offline know. Me. I don't remember if I remember that.
We talked about Nick and Sam. Stop it. Don't do this. Don't do this right now.
I didn't. Can you text me about that right now?
Oh, I remember this now. It wasn't even that bad, though. That's
we
why
talked about this.
Right, but it
me and you.
Right, but it wasn't even that bad.
We just
so
didn't
why,
report it.
Right, it wasn't even that bad,
because they wouldn't
though.
Report it.
But remember, I was like, why would you even lie about that?
Well, you know, it's funny because let's go back to training camp when CeeDee cut his foot, and he told me some clown stuff, which I reported or I tweeted.
So messy.
He did. Wait, I said, it was clown stuff, bro. Why you? He told me it was clown stuff. So you remember it was before the Chargers game.
The lesson here is don't tell Clarence anything.
No, it was clown. I said, how you hurt your foot? Clown stuff. So Micah clearly cut his hand doing clown stuff because it wasn't on the football field. It wasn't in the game against the Eagles or whoever else.
Hey, I'm not going to name
it
names.
Was off
but
the,
there
you
are,
know, it was something away from the facility.
There
clearly.
Are head coaches that do the same thing.
What, clown stuff?
They do clown stuff, and they're reported as different things. So there are reporters that do clown stuff.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to get in. I'm not going to bash.
So, getting back to Dez Bryant, he didn't cut his hand on no carrot making
soup.
But
let's tie this all back in.
It was clown stuff, I'm sure.
This guy needs his hands, in theory, to help wrap up opposing offensive players, right. And he's playing with a clubbed hand.
Clubbed hand.
So when it comes to a tooth, I'm having a hard time with Kelvin Joseph. And when you got a player like Micah on the defensive side of the ball,
you
I think it makes it hard for
you
a
know
guy
the
like
vibe.
Kelvin Joseph
you
to endear himself to the coaching staff.
You know the vibe.
What's the vibe?
Oh, don't even get into this, Jane.
You don't know the vibe?
I don't know the vibe.
That's how he got busted.
That's why there's a break. That's why there's a break. And you can tell Jane.
Tell me when I get invited to the barbecue.
Oh, my God, Jane.
Jane doesn't understand. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay,
That's
Jane.
How he got busted, Jane.
It's we can tell
you don't
that
know
about
Jane.
Nui, take it down.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, Nui, go. Throw something out there.
I'm feeling more basic than ever.
There's a break, and when that break comes, you'll get it really quick. So, okay. Sam Howell is starting for the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
Normally, I'm thinking, all right, pretty easy. You know, rookie from North Carolina, they should be able to handle it. But then again, we saw Josh Dobbs show up 8 days before, go to Tennessee, and handle his job. So how do we feel as it's Dallas week up there, final regular season game, Sam Howell going, Clarence?
I think we would be remiss to not talk about the DeMar Hamilton situation, the Hamlin situation, before Sam Howell. Only because
you say this after all of the.
I know.
After you started in with some clown stuff,
yeah. I did, but it was good stuff.
But
let's not
shame Nui for the way he stacked this
rundown.
That's what that
Nui.
Just felt like.
No, I'm sorry.
It did feel
I
like
love
that.
Nui. Nui was my
it did
one of
feel
my.
Feel like that though.
No, what I'm saying is though that.
Whose show is this? Last I checked, it was Nui's.
It's always Clarence's show. Wherever he's at, it's his show.
I'm sorry, Nui. That was not intent.
That's
I'm just saying.
That's disingenuous. He's not sorry.
I am sorry. I care about the show. I care about Nui. I care about all of y'all. And I care about our watchers, viewers. I just think that it was so, when we talked to the locker room, that that's all everybody talked about. Certainly Mike McCarthy was very poignant about it. And
move
how the
your
team,
hand over for the viewers, okay?
Very poignant about how the team handled it and how they were handling it with the team. And he said that was our focus today more so than Sunday. And they were focused on dealing with the players and how they were handling the situation mentally, emotionally. You know, it's watching someone and that whole situation, they're all, you know, a fraternity, you know, of football players. And that was something we've never seen before. And it's something they've never seen before.
Well,
and
they kind of. The players were talking about how it kind of, you know, reminded some of the Marcus Paul, incident that happened here where he ended up passing away. And, you know, that was in the team's weight room and there were other players around. And so the thing with me is it's one thing to see somebody go down. It's another when you see someone, them have to get out the defibrillator and you're just seeing things that you just, no human being really wants to see or should ever have to see, you know? So
yeah, and the only thing I would say is different than DeMarcus Paul is because it was a horrific situation. But as football players, seeing an NFL football player, it happened to you on the field doing a routine play.
Yeah.
That makes it even more personal for what you have to go out and do.
You know, it reminds me of, and I didn't know how to articulate or ask this question, but I had a buddy who was what they call a first ascender. And right. So they used to drop him over waterfalls in a kayak, and then you would descend down. And he said the moment he started questioning whether he was going to survive that drop is when he had to quit, because the moment that fear or that thought that you could get hurt enters your mind, that's when you can find yourself injured. And that's why I didn't think they should play that game, because those guys are all thinking about that hit and that moment. And when you're right. kind of messed up, and because it is such a fast game, it's such a physical game, you know, I was worried about the possibility of other injuries happening as a result of that.
But I just
wonder if these players, because to your point, it's something you don't ever think about. You are prepared. Certain hits as it relates to concussions are bad, right? But this idea that something that mostly happens in baseball or right. in hockey could do something like this, and we still don't have word that he's in the clear yet.
Right.
That is what I think is concerning for so many people. And to see the very – we think of so many of these guys with helmets on, right? We don't see their faces. We don't see their emotions during the game. And we think of – especially younger kids, when you think of football players, you think of them as larger in life superheroes, and it felt like they were all just – wounded,
no.
you know, wounded emotionally, wounded physically. And I think that was the thing that was so hard to watch. And I think for a lot of guys that weren't there, to see such strong guys show such strong emotions.
No doubt. And you know, we talked to Dak about it today. And you know, he's been through a lot. You know, he mm-hmm. talked about the Marcus Paul star. He talked about his brother passing away and the mental health aspect of it. And that's what people don't, you know, there's so many people worried about when they're going to replay the game, and how does it affect the playoffs, and how does it affect this weekend's games. And if you really care about the players, it's not just about the physical, it's about the mental health part of it. And that's what Mike McCarthy talked about today, how he's taking care. You know, they had Jonathan Evans, the team chaplain, speak to the team today about it. They all talked about how to appreciate the moment. And everybody talked about it. Mike Parsons talked about, I went and called my dad and my brother and called my family and let them know I loved them, and because you never know. And so we, you know, as players and as fans and as media and people, just you care about the outcomes all the time and don't understand and don't really care about the people that are involved in the outcomes and how it's more than just a game, you know. And I thought Mike McCarthy was great today, and he really set the right tone and said, we're not okay. Nobody's fine here. Everybody says we're okay, but we're not okay. And he reiterated that at the team meeting. You know, Dak said he talked again about it after practice today when he broke him down. You know, we're not okay.
And it's, you know, I feel like mental health has gotten thrown around in recent years, and people have talked about it. And I think it's interesting to see how that discussion has evolved. Not to bring myself into it, but this was a really challenging year for me. And I know you've gone through stuff with your dad, and Dak's gone through stuff, and I have such a level of empathy. Like, finding out in October that my mom's got a year to live. I found myself not able to do my job. I was not okay in the month of October, and I sought professional help, and I am such an optimistic person, and things always have a positive outcome, and I'm a professional. And so I think, not that I dismissed mental health, but I don't think I ever saw myself get so dark. And so I think I have a level of empathy for people that, you know, maybe saw this stuff on the sidelines. And again, not to make this about me, but I didn't understand how someone close to you, when it's not happening to you, but someone close to you that you love,
right,
knowing that they're not okay, how that can affect your day to day.
Right.
So.
Right. We love you, Jane.
I love you guys too. But do get help, because it's helped me. I'm in a much better place.
Yeah. As a media person, I know you can identify, and I think that we need to say this. And this is a media mash, so let's talk about this. The ESPN announcers in the studio on the sideline of the game were put in a horrible situation because they mm-hmm. didn't know. And they had to fill time and talk. And I just thought they did a great job, from Lisa Salters to Ryan Clark to Troy and the guys in the booth. They didn't try to overtalk. They didn't try to say things they didn't know. They really just laid it out there. And they did a great job. And I've always said this, as we're sports guys, that the sports media are the most versatile members of the newsroom. Because we have to cover everything. I know covering the Cowboys, you know, we've covered deaths and murder trials and drug trials and stadium issues and football games. And you have to be able to cover everything. And That was just yeoman's work by the media there for ESPN.
Well, and I felt for Lisa Salters because, yes, as you can imagine, when you're watching all the coverage, you know, I had some people text me and say, "Where's Lisa?" And I was at the Pro Bowl a couple of years ago. Remember when Kobe died?
Right.
And there were reports that his daughter, his family, and there were so many conflicting reports. Well, Lisa had worked very intimately with Kobe early in her career. Susie knew him well. I remember Mark Ingram coming up to me and saying to me, "Jane, tell me his daughters are not on that plane." And Kaylee Hartong, who works now for Amazon, was covering it for ABC, and we were texting, and I just saw how she was having a hard time with it. And it's, you know, as journalists, you are supposed to be objective, right? But it's hard not to have emotion. Because to your point, I've worked on the news side, I've worked on the sports side. When you cover a news story, you get close to some of the people you interview, but a lot of times these stories, unfortunately, are one-off.
Right.
With sports, you're showing up and covering people for sometimes 5, 8, 10 years. And so seeing what she saw and covering as many games as you had and being there in real time, and now I can't imagine the eerie feeling of being the only one left there in the stadium, because there weren't many people at that time when they went to her. And saying, "Tell us what you thought, saw." And right. I think some people said, "Well, she got emotional." Well, I think we would have criticized her if she didn't show emotion.
No, she did a great job. She did a wonderful job.
And for people who said they shouldn't have been covering it, I disagree. You're coming to a place looking for news. There wasn't a lot of news. But I think that's where a lot of the analysts came in and I think shined, as you're giving context, because as journalists, we haven't suited up and been on the field, at least some of us here.
Right.
And so I thought they did as good a job as they could given the circumstances.
It shifted into a news story.
Yeah.
It was a football game that shifted into a news story, and they, that's what they had to transition into. I thought Joe Buck did a fantastic job in Troy Aikman. What they did do was present facts.
Right.
And as that was happening that night at Channel 5, they asked me to be the lead story.
Right.
To start off the newscast. And then they said, "Well, what if we ask you a question? We want to ask you a question." And I said, "About what?" Mm. And my thing was, I'm not going to give you a take or an opinion. If I don't have any facts, then I'm not going to say it. We cannot be wrong here. And will they postpone or suspend? I don't know what the NFL will do.
Right.
All I know is by saying we're not playing the game now, they're giving themselves whatever options they want. But to say or speculate, this is not the time. If you do not have a fact, then do not say it. If somebody doesn't, if it doesn't come from the team, if it doesn't come from the family, then we should not say anything other than this is what we know. And Scott Van Pelt, by the way, at SportsCenter, he was going about it. I thought he did a very good job. But that's what you want to do at this point in time, is just make sure you're going through facts. And it became a news story. I know on the cable side for us, MSNBC, Stephanie Ruhle took over her 11th hour. They were just talking about that and bringing in people to talk about the player, to talk about injuries. But facts, to me, were the most important thing. And I've tried to be very careful on social media about what I have put out or even just retweeted, because it's such a sensitive situation here. Mike Tomlin, I don't know if you guys have to see what Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday about how he knew Hamlin since he was 12 years old. Mike always just says the right things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's some people that are there. But what you said about McCarthy I thought was really good, and to me speaks to the fact of Mike's done a really good job here after that, especially after the first season.
Right.
Mike's done a lot of positive things. And why I've told people like Chris Canty, hey, man, if Mike's not working here, he's working somewhere across this league.
Yep.
I continue to be impressed with how he handles things outside.
He's a human. And, you know, to sort of piggyback off that, you know, Mike and I had a little bit of a contentious relationship our first year that we've since repaired. And I was standing outside the locker room in Tennessee, and he said, "Hey, real quick, how's your mom?" I never told him about my mom. Someone else must have told him. But he took a minute just to be like, "How's your mom?" And it meant a lot to me.
Of course.
And I know that if he's doing that to me, imagine how he loves up on some of those players.
No doubt. Like I said, Mike has done a great job on and off the field, how he's handled. You know, we talk about how he's handled the team after losses, and they rarely have back to –
They haven't had one. They haven't had one this year.
Not this year, and probably the only time was, when Dak was hurt. But going back to last year, they don't lose games back-to-back. They rebound. They respond. He's done a great job taking care of their bodies. You know, we talk about – you know, how they're healthy. And he's really and certainly how he handled the team after the Marcus Paul situation to how he's handling the team now. I mean, you just got to tip your cap to what he's done. And you know, and that's why one reason why I always talk about, and I've gone on social media talking about Jeff Saturday. You just don't put people in these jobs. I mean, he is a head coach for a reason.
Well, and you just look at the history of this organization from 1995 till now. You know, it just shows you how difficult it is to put two good seasons back to back. You don't need to know the coaches. You don't need to know the players. You just need to look from 1995 till 2021 and tell me how many back to back years have they had where
ten
it was
wins.
Right where it was good.
10 wins. How about 12 wins?
Yeah.
How about back to back trips to the playoffs? You know, and I've said this, and we can talk about another segment. This is the most questioned and scrutinized and picked on 12-win team. Soon to be 13-win team.
Minnesota gets a little picked on, as they should.
Let's get a break. Let's get a
40-3, though. That's the reason for that.
Let's get a break and go into that as well with Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, John Machado, The Athletic, Jane Slater of NFL Media. I'm Newey Scruggs. This is the Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash here on a Wednesday going into the regular season finale for the Cowboys as they will take on the Washington Commanders, who are going to go with Sam Howell, the rookie from North Carolina, at the quarterback position. Let's keep on talking Cowboys with Jane Slater, NFL.com, NFL Media, NFL Network. If it's NFL, you got Jane over there. Our guy, John Machota of The Athletic, Clarence Hill, longest tenured beat writer in around here now with the Star-Telegram. Been there since
96.
Chan? No.
Barry.
Yes.
Barry.
So you've covered a lot of back-to-back good seasons. This is the first time, huh?
I'm merely new to Scruggs. I'm just here for...
I was here in 07, 06 and 07. 07 is the one they should be kicking themselves over still.
No, those are back-to-back playoffs. I'm talking about double-digit win back-to-backs. This is your first time, right?
With the same coach.
I think at all.
Yeah.
Because they haven't done back-to-back since 95, 96.
Yeah.
Back-to-back right. double-digit. I was saying
with the same coach because they went way – what was –
No, they went to the playoffs back-to-back years.
No, they were 9-7 in Parcells last year. That's so right. They were not back-to-back double-digit win.
Correct.
So everybody that's had the double-digit wins back-to-back has gone on to win a Super Bowl with the franchise then, right?
They have.
Mm-hmm. So I just did that for you because you always hate when I mention the Super Bowl.
They did.
I do it just to poke the bear.
RJ Ochoa can find some crazy stats, though. It's always, I'm always like, how do you do this stuff with blogging with the boys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So yeah, does a good job.
I did think of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the Fiesta Bowl, and when we're going down the escalators of baggage claim, it said Super Bowl.
Where were your pom-poms? Where were your purple pom-poms?
As a student? My student? I'm a student. These are my classmates.
Were they in your bag?
You know, my classmates, man.
They're putting up their...
You know what?
Hypnotoad.
I think I sent him to the Alamo Bowl. I think they were over there.
That was bad.
So what were you thinking?
I think the SEC is reconsequering our application, they're going to call up TCU and Sonny Dykes.
They're taking the cash, baby. They're taking the cash.
So when you saw that, when you saw that Super Bowl stuff.
I'm going down baggage claim. I see Super Bowl.
Right.
And my photographer, Noah Buller, says, would it be something if we come back here for the Super Bowl? I'm like,
I will tell you this right now.
And I just said, you know, and
crazier things have happened.
Hey, you work with two of the most positive people ever been around in sports, with Pat Doney and Noah Buller.
Oh my God.
So for Noah to say that does not surprise me at all. Like, and for both of them, I would like this team to finally maybe get there so that they could cover that. Because they're always so positive about everything.
I've been to a Super Bowl in Arizona, and I just said, look, man, I don't want to talk about that. I said I'd rather talk about TCU potentially going to Los Angeles. I said there's a better chance of TCU going to Los Angeles than us coming back here for the
Super
Bowl.
But hey, listen, stranger things have happened. I mean, who would have thought the Cowboys would be where they are at this point in the season, still with a chance to get a one seed? That is wild to me, considering we were talking about this in the break. Name a position that has not been hampered by injury this season for the Cowboys.
Where
they're at and how tough this division was.
Well, I mean,
that's what's crazy to me.
Let's just go back to the spring.
It would also be so Dallas to lose to a Sam Howell quarterback in a game they need to win that they should have won.
They're not losing the
season.
I don't think there's any way they're not losing.
But
Titans game was not pretty against Josh Dobbs, folks.
They were never going to lose that game. They still won by double digits.
I hear you, but I'm saying it's such a Cowboy thing.
I agree, but what did the Raiders do against the Raiders? What did the 49ers do against the Raiders team with Stidham?
Agreed.
They went to overtime. I'm just saying, though, that people point out the Cowboys.
The Eagles should not have lost to the Saints.
Right.
Let's keep it real.
But when it's the Cowboys, it's an indictment.
But it's funny, though, because she says about it would be such a Cowboys thing. And that's so true. And that brings me back to Nui, who always is like, for Nui, and I'm sure it's like that for you, too, because you've been covering it so long, but it's not just about this team and what it's done to them. It's all these previous coaches and these previous players that have nothing to do with
the journey.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with this team. It's like a track record of like Cowboys.
What can go wrong will go wrong.
Right. It's Murphy's Law with them.
Right. Will you be in L.A. this weekend or will you be in Washington?
I'll be in Los Angeles tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be going tomorrow.
I'll be tomorrow.
It's a little early. A little early.
Hey, good
Mike,
for you.
Mike, that's a little early.
Hey, I got my...
Enjoy yourself.
Get you some Roscoe's. You going to Roscoe's?
We'll be at Roscoe's about 12:30. We'll be at Roscoe's about 12:30. The team arrives on Friday.
Nui, my man, you've had a year. You deserve
it. We've all had a year.
Yeah.
But getting back to what you're
saying. Hold on before you go there. Let me finish one thing. So not only that, John, we're passing the whole Super Bowl sign.
Oh, yeah.
We drive to go to TCU practice, and it's Sun Devil Stadium, where the Cowboys won their last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm like...
It was just meant to be.
It was. I just sat there and I was like, no, I don't want to allow myself to even think about that. I just wanted.
I got on your phone and booked a hotel room for February.
I thought about
you. I appreciate that.
I said at the beginning of this year, I had this weird feeling that the Cowboys are going to do something crazy and go all the way.
All the way.
And then there were points in the season I was like, there's no way they lost Dak. There's no way. Look what's happening to their offensive line. There's no way they don't have any cornerback help. But I just, at the beginning of the season, I said, I just have this weird feeling that the Cowboys might do something crazy and go all the way.
Of all those things, what are you most concerned about? What was the biggest one? Because when you said the corner, that's the one for me, the number two.
But then I'm seeing the play of Nashawn Wright. But again, it hasn't been against all world offenses here as of late either.
You're talking about at this point, what's the most concerned?
Yes.
Oh, sir, to me, it's the run defense. I'm still.
Okay.
It's the run defense.
Yeah. Is that because of the way that they're playing right now or because that's also.
I think the teams in the postseason and their run game are going to be a lot more significant than the ones that. I mean, think about it. We got to 49ers. December. We were worried about Derrick Henry. They didn't see Derrick Henry. You were worried about Jonathan Taylor. You didn't see Jonathan Taylor. And they still haven't done that great against the run defense. But when you start getting to some of these other playoff teams in the postseason, I think not all of us are convinced that they figured this thing out.
No. What about you, Nui?
Now you'll get Leighton Vander Esch back, though, right? He's expected back in the postseason.
Oh, yeah, he was out there practicing today.
Biggest concern is being able to stop the run. You're trying to go out here and win a Super Bowl. And because when somebody asked me about that, I said, you know, show me a Super Bowl defense that cannot stop the run.
Right.
And you've talked about that as well here. So that's an issue.
You couldn't slow down the Packers when you played them, remember? And right. if you got Debo Samuel.
No, San Francisco, we talked about on the last show, the players like that. That's the one team you don't want. So you hope somebody takes them out for you and helps you out to take San Francisco. But when you talk about the Super Bowl, we're now talking almost half my life since they last went. So that's one reason why I don't want to talk about something that really hasn't happened the back half of my life.
So what will it take for you to have to talk about? Do they have to get the NFC Championship game?
I'd have to see them win the NFC Championship to believe in Taylor.
I think you have to see them.
I'm not ready to do that.
What about just getting past Tom Brady?
But check this out. Two things. Check this out.
They haven't done it yet.
Check this out. Two things. I understand what you're saying. They have to do it. The point everybody's making is, if not now, when? It is wide open as ever been, except in 2007 when they had the best record. They were the best team. It is wide open as ever been. There's no boogeyman out there. I don't care what you say. There are no great teams out there. The Eagles are beatable. The 49ers are beatable. Okay? Minnesota clearly is beatable. Tampa's beatable. Whoever's in the playoffs, this team can win.
You say
now they
disagree.
Have to do it.
You may not have teams that are boogeyman, but I believe there are certain quarterbacks that are boogeyman.
Again, I'm getting ready to get to that.
Okay.
So that's why I root for Detroit this weekend. But if somehow they beat Washington and the Eagles lose to the Giants, instead of Tom Brady, they could get Aaron Rodgers coming here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you should want to take that all day long.
And you should. But yes, Tom Brady haven't beat him ever. But 137-year-old Tom Brady, this Tampa Bay team is not the Super Bowl Tampa Bay team of a couple of years ago. They still have a fighting chance because of Tom Brady.
And
they already
me.
Played him this year and got
right.
beat.
It always amazes
this is not
me
just,
how
neither
they
one are the same team as they were at the beginning of the season.
But that
receiving
corps
the Cowboys
me.
Had at the beginning of the
You'll
season.
You'll turn on the TV in fourth quarter and you're like, here he goes again.
Yeah.
The receiving corps they had at the beginning of the season had Dennis Houston, who somebody on this show told me he's going to have four catches of 73 yards and a touchdown in that game. Not
that
on this show.
Wasn't me, was it?
Not on this
I'm
show.
Like, no way.
It was on this show. Okay, but that receiver core in Tampa Bay.
The ability to keep petty thoughts in the back of your head and pull them out.
Oh, he's a petty prince.
Boy, I tell you.
These are always extensions of other conversations. They never die. Conversations never die.
You'll be single for life like that, man. Be able to pull out pettiness first.
I'm just saying. What I'm saying is going back to that game, though, look at this receiving core. We can bring it full circle because James Washington got cut today. But this team is not the same as that team that opened the season. You say that they lost to Tampa. So what? This Cowboys team is not the same. Tampa Bay is not the same. Look at this receiving core now with T.Y. Hilton and healthy Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb, becoming a number one receiver.
No one thing else that's not the same, though, is that you're going to have a Tom Brady who's going to have a chance to look for a Nashawn Wright, a Jerron Bland, guys that are inexperienced, and he didn't have that opportunity at the beginning of the season because you had season guys like Anthony Brown, Jordan was out there. So you can just see the path
Cowboys
like she's talking
flawed,
about when you turn the games on. He still keeps them close, and there's a reason to be scared. I'm saying that you'd play Green Bay because you're playing at home, and they've won their last eight home games. They've had home field advantage.
But Aaron Rodgers is in his manifestation zone.
No.
I think Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay is scarier than Tampa.
Remember when we said they had like nobody playing when the Cowboys went up there after the bye week. The Cowboys
that receiving
won,
core, they
the
got
Cowboys
the left tackle
that
back.
One, and they did not.
And they would have put them out the playoffs. That receiving core has gotten much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary now that young freshman Watson, rookie for Watson, and they got all their guys
his
back.
His coming out game was against the Cowboys?
Yeah, and I'll take Watson all day long over Mike Evans, but go ahead.
All right, Jane Slater, John Machado, Heckma Harrison, Clarence Hill.
Wow.
No, he's the media match right here on DallasCowboys.com.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgAndTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Little Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash. It's my favorite Media Mash day of the week. It's Wednesday with Jane Slater, NFL Network, John Bishota, The Athletic, Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, my merely newbie, Scruggs.
Merely.
Try and somehow get it all together. James Washington, finally cut.
Damn. Just the way you said that is just...
How long have we been playing around with this thing? I mean, you know, we've all thought it was, you know, what are they doing?
Well, Mike hoped to see him around again, though.
Stop it. You know.
Yeah, he might be back in the practice squad.
No.
So, is this finally a tacit admission, if not a full admission, that they messed up with CeeDee Lamb?
You want this? You mean Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
You want them to say they were wrong?
I need
so
some
bad.
Blood.
Right. I'm going to give them.
Admit you were wrong.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, though, on this. If they do go on a playoff run. And T.Y. Hilton is a big part of it. You can kind of dismiss the Amari Cooper thing.
No, you can dismiss it because they won without him.
Because we're in a great spot. We're not. We can only. I'm going to criticize it after it happens. I mean, let's be honest. We're not the ones coaching it. We're not the one that's going to get the maximum blame.
No, I'm telling you. We criticize them at the moment it happened.
Well, sure. Okay, I'm just saying.
This is not a hindsight.
No. And how they reacted. I didn't like it at the time either. I'm just saying, though, there were some things that, let's be honest, that I thought there were seasons where I thought Amari Cooper late in the season could have taken the team to another level. It did not happen. In Philadelphia, 2019, Jason Garrett's last year, needed him to show up. He didn't. I'm just giving you the benefit of the doubt here.
If T.Y. Hilton wasn't on him.
It wasn't on him.
Okay, that's fine. But if T.Y. Hilton continues on the path that he's on right now, which is asking a lot for his age and all that, but if he continues doing this and he comes up big for them in some big games like he has up to this point, I think you can kind of dismiss the Amari thing a little bit.
No, you can't dismiss it.
You need multiple playoff wins.
Can we rename the show Clarence versus the World?
No. It's because it's the whole process, the whole buildup. You get rid of Amari. You sign Tolbert.
Right. You draft Tolbert.
You draft Tolbert. You sign
James Washington.
James Washington. And this is our plan.
They have two catches, and Michael Gallup
misses the first three games.
Franchise tag Dalton Schultz.
And all this stuff. The process to what you get, and then we're spending the bulk of the season trying to find another receiver.
Right.
You know, so I'm saying that, yes, at the end of the day, you fell into T.Y. Hilton.
Counterpoint.
But that was not the plan.
Okay, but no. Counterpoint, I think to Mashota's point, you were expecting more from Dalton Schultz because he was a bit of a security blanket.
And Michael Gallup.
Right, I was about to go there. He was a bit of a security blanket for Dak, and then he got injured, and he was like slow to come back, and he just.
I'm just talking about the receiver position.
I hear you. And then with Michael Gallup took a lot longer to come on, and then you expected CD to embrace that number one spot a lot sooner than he did. So I think mistakes were made. I'll agree with you. But I think those mistakes were made as a result of things that they were relying on working out for them didn't necessarily happen.
I agree, but it, I could have told you that Michael Gallup wasn't going to be ready to start a season. Stephen Jones told us
Did you ask for Will McClay a spot in his office, though?
I'm just saying, Stephen Jones told us at the owners' meeting that he was going to miss the first three games.
Right.
Okay.
And they still paid him. And we all know that it takes you a while. Just because you come back, you're not going to be back immediately.
I would rather have Amari Cooper on this team. I'm going to make this clear. I'm just saying that some paths where if they have the postseason success, people will not look back and go,
We're in the
NFC Championship game, man. If there was Amari here.
If they have postseason success, no doubt. And they're 12-4 and getting beat 13-4 without him. And I understand all that.
And yeah. I think the concern was you're paying this one guy all of this money, and how much is he really contributing to justify it?
I know.
And then to your point, if you look to go on the open market, what guys would you have afforded to brought in, because the wide receiver market was pretty, I mean, there were some hefty price tags for the wide receivers.
So his money's not that big of a deal right now.
Gallup. Correct.
And you're probably not going to have, I still think they franchised Dalton Schultz, so you wouldn't have Gallup, and you'd be better off with Amari Cooper. There's no question. But you probably don't even go out and get T.Y. Hilton.
You're better off with Amari Cooper. But yeah. Fine, it's going to work out. It has worked out. And that's fine, but I'm just saying the moves they're making tells you that they made a mistake. That's all I'm saying.
Agreed, and they've got to figure this thing out next year as well, because T.Y. is not your answer next year.
Right.
Then what are some of the free agent wide receivers that you're going to bring in, and are you going to roll out next year and hope that Michael Gallup becomes the guy, CeeDee Lamb becomes the guy, and then what are you going to do with this Jalen Tolbert? Who
you're going to hope that he becomes like a number three wide receiver.
You hope he attacks the offseason the way Terrence Steele did after his rough rookie year and make some changes or do what the book Nick Saban wrote, which is how good do you want to be? And that's the conversation somebody's going to have with Jalen Tolbert.
Or men Trayvon, remember even his rookie year was a little spotty at times, and he had a huge second year.
But you had Nolan over there.
And the crazy part about it is they might not even got T.Y. Hilton able to sign Odell Beckham. So, We're going to wait for the playoffs. Odell Beckham, they wouldn't have won the last two games without T.Y. Hilton.
Like a good fantasy football team, you had a bad draft, you had some things that didn't work, but you went to the waiver wire, and you improved your football team, and now you got T.Y. Hilton, you're going to playoffs. And you know what? Get in the playoffs, have a shot, and hope somebody eliminates San Francisco for you. But
why aren't they using him more, though?
Because
T.Y.
There are.
Oh, they will.
They're ramping it up.
I mean, it was like 11, then he went to 22 snaps.
Well, it's just like the same thing with a Jason Peters, is that when you're bringing him along at their age, obviously different ages, one's 40, one's 33, but still, when you don't play a full season, you worry about he gets out there, all of a sudden, hey, he says he can handle 30 plays. You're like, nah, well, let's do 10.
I don't know.
You
put him out for to me, can handle it.
Well, you say that. But a lot of people will point to you could get a hamstring injury. It could be something small like that that all of a sudden set you back because you wanted to give him 30 snaps instead of 20, instead of bringing him along. And then for in the playoffs, and that's when he can get his 30, 35. That's when it matters. I think that the soft tissue injuries and things like that is what they worry about.
If Jane
the guy
says
hasn't
the man
played.
Can handle it, then, you know, Jane knows.
Okay, I stand corrected.
There you go.
Jane, they've used him so far.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, might want to use him just a little bit more.
And I think you will
that
see
that.
That
game felt a little too close in Tennessee.
I think you will see more.
Come on, you take the two picks away, it's not close. It had nothing to do with their usage or lack of usage of T.Y.
It had nothing to do with the Cowboys, really, either. It was the team that Tennessee decided to roll out there.
For all of that, it had nothing to do with the lack of use of the T.Y. That's why it was close. And they still won by double digits.
I know. I'm just saying.
It was double digits.
And they still covered the spread.
Oh, we don't talk about that in NFL Network.
Is that right?
Unlike the Raiders.
I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Unlike the 49ers and some other teams. Kansas City Chiefs barely beat Denver, a bad Denver team that just fired their coach. It just got beat 51-13.
This is why Nui starts to fall asleep sometimes, because when you just start going on some of these tangents,
this
I find myself
off. This is not a tangent
when
we're talking about. You said they barely won. Did she not say barely won?
Nui, save the show.
It felt closer than it should have.
Well,
I want to thank Jane Slater, John Machota, and Clarence Hill. Because Jane's show is coming up, and we need to give her adequate time to prepare and get situated for her show. I will talk to you all next week when I get back from Los Angeles.
Ooh. Have fun, my friend.
National championship.
Will you make it back?
Go for all.
Will you be at the parade?
He'll be.
Might not be here.
He'll be hypnotoded.
Hypnotoded. Might not be here. You're going to be at the parade.
Hey, man.
Athens.
Downtown Fort Worth.
Hey.
Let's make it happen.
Fort Fun.
Go Frogs!
Oh. It's Media Mash.
Unnecessary.
Brought to you by nobody right here on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!